Homemade breadcrumbs are going to taste better. You'll save money.
Don't leave crumbs.
So he was extremely innovative. And of course, he then developed Augusta National. You know, he built Augusta National as the World's Wonder Inland Golf Club. And then they, and of course, they built it in the height of the Depression. Golf clubs were folding at that time. They weren't building golf clubs. They were folding them. And he was very lucky to have made Augusta survive during those lean times. And then, of course, the Masters followed in 34. And one of the members, Grantland Rice, said, you know, in order to bring in some revenue, we could probably get some money from the gate, and I'll get all of my baseball writers who go down to the Grapefruit League in the winter in Florida, and I'll drag them up through Augusta on their way north, and they'll write about it, and you know, we'll get some gate money. Well, very few people showed up. The gate didn't show up. So Alfred Severn Bourne, the Singer sewing machine magnate, had to reach in his pocket and come up with the $5,000 to pay all the players in 34. And then it wasn't until the next year that Gene Sarazen hit the shot around the world, heard around the world, on number 15, double eagle to tie Craig Wood and to win the next day in the playoff. And then all the sports writers ballyhooed that, and everybody showed up the next year because they wanted to see somebody hit another double eagle.
Sid, just on Augusta National, so I might be wrong here, but, you know, Bobby Jones collaborated with McKenzie on the design, and there's a story I read somewhere, you'll be able to say whether it's bogus or not, but that he played, I think, out in Pebble Beach in a tournament and then had the opportunity to go and play Cypress Point. I think maybe he hadn't made, he wasn't in the remainder of the tournament, went and played Cypress Point. And I think that was then kind of the inspiration of sort of when I go and design my masterpiece, I want to do it with McKenzie. Is there some truth in that? Is that?
Yeah, you know, the East Lake was originally laid out by Thomas Bendelow in 1906, 1907. Bendelow is from Chicago. He did over 400 golf courses. He would come and just pound stakes in, and you know, the golf course was clockwise, and they played on it. It had three par 4.5 holes on the course, and two of them were in a row. So after playing it for, you know, 10 years, they thought that it was the death march to the Bataan. I mean, it was very grueling to play. And so they got Donald Ross to reroute the course and change it from clockwise to counterclockwise. And then it worked. And once you think about it, St. Andrews was clockwise to begin with. You played from number 1 to 17 was the first green, and you went around clockwise and finished at 18. That way you could see all the bunkers. They still play on April Fool's Day the reverse course, where you could see all the bunkers. And then they changed it to counterclockwise, built number 1 green, which was brand new, changed some of them to double greens, you know, but there was some magic to reversing the rerouting. And so that happened in 1913-14. So Bob Jones knew Ross, Donald Ross, very well. And they hired him in 1928 to build the number 2 course at East Lake and Highlands, the summer course, where Jones tuned up for the Grand Slam in 29. So Bob Jones knew all about Donald Ross, loved Donald Ross. But McKenzie knew St. Andrews, and that's the key. Mackenzie did the first line drawing of St. Andrews in 1924, and Mackenzie was allowed to do some touch-ups on the course, but he knew the magic of St. Andrews, and that is, you never play the same shot twice. You never play the same game. Every round is different, which is the essence of golf. The essence of golf is variety. The essence of golf is adventure. You'd never play the same course twice. There's weather changes. There's all wind changes, all kinds of grass. Everything changes. And so variety creates the most enjoyment. And so that's why St. Andrews was the course that if Jones ever had to be sentenced to play on one course the rest of his life, it would be St. Andrews. So he always talked to Mackenzie in terms of the golf course architecture, shot values, that sort of thing. It was such that he met Mackenzie in 21 because he was there. And then in 26 and 27, O.B. Keeler walked every shot with Mackenzie that Bobby Jones played. So imagine they're talking about the best shot values. Now, at the same time, Bob becomes an associate editor in the American Golfer magazine that Travis edited and then later Graylin Rice. And they had an ongoing dialogue of articles by Max Baer and Maxwell and everybody who was anybody in golf course architecture, arguing back and forth what the essence of golf is and what golf architecture is. So Bob was intimately involved in that. And in 1929, Bob went out to play in the amateur at Pebble Beach, was knocked out by Johnny Goodman in the first round. He's twiddling his thumbs, he's bored. But he goes to play Pasatiempo, which Marion Hollins had hired Alistair Mackenzie to design for her. She was one of the most magnificent people in golf because she was a champion golfer. She understood golf inside and out. She invested in the Kettleman oil fields in Southern California, and they hit in the height of the Depression. She was one of the richest people in California and invested all of her money in Pasatiempo, and Mackenzie had his house on the sixth hole, still there. But Bob went to play Cypress Point and saw Mackenzie's work at Cypress Point, played Pasatiempo, and I'm sure that they then resolved that when Bob got ready to build his golf course, Mackenzie was going to be the guy to do it.
Homemade breadcrumbs are going to taste better. You'll save money.
Don't leave crumbs.
Let's make breadcrumbs.